Amen. Tonight, Exodus 7 and 8. Go through Exodus 7 and 8. It's now time for Moses to go before Pharaoh. We've been hearing God command him to do that, to demand that the Israelites be allowed to go out 3 days into the wilderness to sacrifice to their God, the one true God, creator of heaven and earth, Yahweh. In chapter 7 and 8, we see that Pharaoh is not going to heed Moses. And therefore, God sends the first 4 of 10 plagues on the Egyptians. In 7 to 8, we see 4 of the 10 plagues on the Egyptians. See, Egypt had many false gods. And these plagues actually attacked those fake gods in order to show that Jehovah rules and not the gods of nature. The first 4 plagues are blood, frogs, gnats or lice, and then flies. Now, on these plagues, we do not know the time interval between every plague. We know how long these all took. We do know the plagues of frogs occurred 7 days after the plague of blood. We do know that. We see that in Exodus 7, verse 25. It ends with, and 7 days passed after the Lord struck the river with blood, and then they go on to the next plague. We do know that. And we know that the 7th plague, hail, happened in February, because in Exodus 9, if you'd like to turn there, Exodus 9, verse 31. It says, now the flax and the barley were struck, for the barley was in the head and the flax was in the bud. And that happened in February. That's when those things happen. So we know that the 7th plague happened in February. We know the 10th and last plague of the firstborn slain happened in April, the month of the Passover. So it took a little while for all these things to happen. But we don't know the exact time frame of when they all happened and how long in between each one. So in chapter 7, verse 1 and 2, we read, so the Lord said to Moses, see, I have made you as God to Pharaoh, and Aaron your brother shall be your prophet. You shall speak all that I command you, and Aaron your brother shall tell Pharaoh to send the children of Israel out of his land. So he reiterates, I'm using you. Moses, you said you couldn't do it, that you couldn't speak well, so I gave your brother Aaron to be with you. He's going to be your mouthpiece, and I will be to God, I'll be as God to Pharaoh through you. I'll speak to you, you'll speak to your brother, he'll speak to Pharaoh, and that's the way it comes down. It's just like me speaking to Pharaoh, just through you instruments. But he tells me in verse 3, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. We went through that last week. It isn't that God hardened his heart where he can't listen. We went over that last week. We'll see in these chapters that God allows Pharaoh's heart to be hardened. He just will accept it to be hardened. In other words, he makes it firm. Pharaoh will see, goes along and hardens his heart each time. And God just says, okay, that's what you want. Your heart will be hardened. Due to rebellion, always we see. See, and it'll to make it sure, firm. God is going to make it firm that, okay, your heart is hard. God will, you know, is going to share with Pharaoh his signs and wonders, trying to get Pharaoh to acknowledge that he's God and you need to do what I say. But he's not going to obey. He's just going to harden his heart. And it'll get harder and harder and just won't obey God. And he said in verse 3, I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart, and then I'm going to multiply my signs and wonders in the land of Egypt. You notice, my signs and my wonders, these are miracles from God. There are people, scientists, that try to explain some of these things. some logical explanation. We don't have to do that with our faith. God just does these things. And they're from God, and just like in the book of Revelation, those things are going to be from God. No explanation. They're from God. God's bringing wrath upon the world as he brought this judgment upon Egypt here. Now, in verse 5, 4 and 5, Pharaoh will not heed you. He's telling them already. And again, this has got to be really tough for Pharaoh, because he told them ahead of time, I'm going to do all these things, but Pharaoh's not going to listen to you. That's tough when God tells you to do something, but you're told, well, they're not going to listen to you, though, but I still want you to go do it so that my judgment is fair against them. Pharaoh will not heed you, so that I may lay my hand on Egypt and bring my armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. God's going to bring his armies, or hosts, the word is, his people out of Egypt through the 10 plagues and judgments. And then in verse 5, and the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, as we went over last week. He revealed his name, Yahweh, the God who has this covenant with Israel and who is going to deliver them, the deliverer. When I stretch out my hand on Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among men. You notice here in verse 5, he's doing these things so that the Egyptians shall know that he is Jehovah God, the one true God. He's doing this to show them, these 10 plagues, that he is God, that he is Jehovah, the Lord all-powerful. Earlier, as we read in Exodus, the signs were shown to the Israelites, showing that Israel was God's own people and God will work with them. Remember, he had them go and do those signs before the people and the elders? And it was to show Israel who he is and that he's with them and they're his people. Now he's going to do these to show Egypt that he's the one true God, Yahweh. And the Egyptians will know that once he brings out the children of Israel from among them. Verse 6, then Moses and Aaron did so, just as the Lord commanded them, and they did. And Moses was 80 years old and Aaron 83 years old when they spoke to Pharaoh. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, so Moses and Aaron, they obeyed. They went out and they were going to do what he said. And they're already getting up in years, but God's still using them. He's 80 and his brother's 83. And then he gives Aaron and Moses these commands. Verse 9, he says, when Pharaoh speaks to you saying, show a miracle for yourselves, then you shall say to Aaron. See, because Pharaoh's going to want some credentials, knowing that you're from God. He says, when he says, show a miracle for yourselves, then you shall say to Aaron, take your rod, cast it before Pharaoh, and let it become a serpent. So Moses and Aaron went into Pharaoh, and they did so, just as the Lord commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. He says, when you get in there and Pharaoh challenges you, take that rod, which I told you to take with you on this trip, which I'm going to work through, and cast it, down before Pharaoh, and it's going to become a serpent. Remember, he did that earlier to show Israel that he was God. Same sign here. And so they did, and Aaron cast on, and it became a serpent. But Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers. So the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantments. For every man threw down his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. Now, there were magicians and sorcerers. There still are sorcerers. There are people that are powered by Satan. There are evil spirits. Today, people are powered by Satan, but they are limited and they're counterfeits. It's not really God working through them. And you notice how Aaron's rod ate up theirs just to show you, hey, you can do magic stuff, but I'm in charge. People try to think that everything that's weird or evil, is just happenstance. There are evil spirits, there are demons, there is this power that Satan has, but he's limited. You know, let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8 and 9. See, we can't deny the power of the evil world. You know, in Ephesians, it tells us that we're not battling against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers and wickedness in high places. These things exist. Now look at verse 8 and 9. Now, as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, you see that? These magicians? So we have names of two of these people. So do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds disapproved concerning the faith, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was. It showed that they weren't all powerful either. So you see these two guys, Jannes and Jambres, two of them. And in the last days, we read of the power that this delusion that Satan will bring. Turn to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. Let's see, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8 and 8. Verse 8. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 8. It talks about the Antichrist coming on the scene, verse 8. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they do not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. People will be delusional. They'll believe these signs and these wonders, but not us. We'll be raptured. If you read this chapter, it gives you the series of events and then the rapture of the church. We'll be taken out of here. I remember when I was first a Christian, I was wondering, will I be deceived? You know, when you read the book of Revelation, you see things, and then here you read about this. There's going to be this power by Satan, signs and lying wonders. Will I believe it? And then when I found out, no, as you read this, the church is removed. That which is restraining will be taken out of the way. We read that right in verse 7, which is the church filled with the Holy Spirit. So we won't be here. We don't have to worry about that. We have the truth, you see. We'll be raptured in that great tribulation period. But then and now there are evil spirits and people that do these signs and wonders. Verse 12. For every man threw down his rod, they became serpents, but Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. Now, you think Pharaoh would believe, but Pharaoh's heart, you notice here, Pharaoh's heart grew hard. So we see he's growing his own heart hard. God didn't make it hard. God doesn't desire that any perish. He never creates anybody to be condemned. That's why Jesus died on the cross, so that anyone who believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. People perish because they don't believe and their heart is hard. And it grew hard. Why? Because he did not heed them as the Lord had said. God said that would happen. Verse 14. So the Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hard. He refuses to let the people go. Go to Pharaoh in the morning when he goes out to the water. See, he probably went out there to the water to bathe and do things. And he says, and this is the Nile River. And you shall stand by the river's bank to meet him. And the rod which was turned to a serpent you shall take in your hand. And you shall say to him, the Lord God, Jehovah God of the Hebrews, has sent me to you, saying, let my people go that they may serve me in the wilderness. They're told to go out there and 3 days journey into the wilderness and serve me. And indeed, until now, you would not hear. Thus says the Lord, by this you shall know. Now he's telling Pharaoh, this is how you're going to know that I'm the Lord God. First he said that to the Israelites, then to the people of Egypt, and now to Pharaoh himself. He says, I'm going to do this to show you that I'm the Lord, the one true God. You shall know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will strike the waters which are in the river with the rod that is in my hand, and they shall be turned to blood. I'm going to turn this river to blood, and the fish that are in the river shall die, the river shall stink, and the Egyptians will loathe to drink the water of the river. Let my people go, or else the Nile will turn bloody. So the first plague is the plague of blood. Now, the Egyptian god Osiris inhabited the Nile. They believe inhabited the Nile. So God is just showing he's more powerful than these gods that they believed in. His name was Osiris, this Egyptian god. Now, do you like the smell of blood and dead fish? Can you imagine that? Stinking like that? Wow. Verse 19. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying to Aaron, take your rod, stretch out your hand over the waters of Egypt, over their streams, over their rivers, over their ponds, over all their pools of water, that they may become blood. And there shall be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in buckets of wood and pitchers of stone. Whatever water they took out of there, it's going to be blood. And Moses and Aaron did so just as the Lord commanded. So he lifted up the rod and struck the waters that were in the river in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants. And all the waters that were in the river were turned to blood. So it became blood. And guess what? The fish that were in the river died. The river stank. And the Egyptians could not drink the water of the river. So there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. That's terrible. But look what happens next in verse 22. Then the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments, and Pharaoh's heart grew hard, and he did not heed them, as the Lord had said. Why would they ever do it? Just to show that they could do it. Why would they add to the plague? These guys are so proud, you know. So they just added to God's plague. He allowed them to do that because it was hurting them. It was just more judgment. And so it stank and it was blood in the river. And these guys are just trying to duplicate and they're just hurting themselves. And then Pharaoh turned and went into his house. Neither was his heart moved by this. You see, his heart's growing hard and hard and hard. There are people that will say, just show me that God is real. Or if God would just show me a miracle. Or if God would just do this, I would believe. A person will never become a believer by the miracles. God produces miracles to be glorified. It is by grace we are saved through faith. That's the way a person comes to the Lord. There must be faith involved. The Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? By the Word of God. That's how a person comes to know the Lord, through God's Word. And they have the faith to believe, and they give their life over to the Lord. But he was letting it grow hard and hard and hard, and he did not heed them. And so Pharaoh went back to his house. And verse 24, so all the Egyptians dug all around the river for water to drink, because they could not drink the water of the river. What they did is dig wells and found water that wasn't in the Nile River. People wonder, well, where did they get water from? It tells us right here. They dug all around the river for water to drink because they could not drink the water of the river. And 7 days, that's why we told you, 7 days passed after the Lord had struck the river. So there was this plague, then 7 days passed. Then we're going to read of the next miracle, chapter 8. And the Lord spoke to Moses, go to Pharaoh and say to him, thus says the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me. We went over this last week. God does not change his word. He says, I'm sending you to deliver these people, tell Pharaoh to let my people go. We'll never win against God. We'll never resist God and win. We must obey. God is not the one that's going to change. We have to change and submit ourselves to his authority. And he insists on, you're going to do this, Pharaoh. Go to Pharaoh and tell him, my message isn't changing. Let my people go that they may serve me. But if you refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all your territory with frogs. The second plague is the plague of frogs. He says, you don't let them go? You're going to have frogs all over. Now, the frog was the god of fertility. He says, I'm going to give you frogs all over the place. I'm going to multiply frogs everywhere, verse 3. So the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into your house, into your bedroom, on your bed, into the houses of your servants, on your people, into your ovens and into your kneading bowls. Man, frogs everywhere. Had to be horrible. And the frogs shall come up on you, going to be jumping on you, on your people, and on all your servants. There's going to be frogs all over the place. You're not going to be able to get away from frogs. Guess what they probably ate? Frogs. Frogs legs. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, say to Aaron, stretch out your hand with your rod over the streams, over the rivers, and over the ponds, and cause frogs to come up on the land of Egypt. So Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt, just everywhere. Guess what? And the magicians did so with their enchantments and brought up frogs on the land of Egypt. Now, why would they do a stupid thing like that? Just to show they could do something. God allowed them to do this. It's just adding to the plague. And so they're just ruining their own land. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron. Now he's changing a little bit, but not really in the heart. He's just getting uncomfortable now. You know, people that aren't believers, things happen in their life and you share with them, but they don't change and things just keep happening. But then the day comes when they do what? When they come and ask you to pray for them. That happens at work, in a neighborhood, people that know you're a Christian. You notice that? Then they'll ask you to pray for them. But is their heart really changed? Not really. We'll see that with Pharaoh. That's what he does here. Verse 8, then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, entreat, you know, pray for me that the Lord, that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go that they may sacrifice to the Lord. If God just does this, I will let you go. People make these promises to God. If you do this, God, I promise I'll never do this again. But guess what? People do it again. Same today as it was then. So he asks Moses and Aaron for help. Pray to the Lord for me and I'll let the people go. Many people are that way when they're in trouble. Oh, please pray for me. If God takes this away, I'll do this. People call on God sometimes. Or some people call on God only when they're in trouble. And they just want to use God just because they're in trouble and in need. But once it gets better, they're back to their old behavior. That's exactly what Pharaoh's going to do. And Moses said to Pharaoh, now here's an interesting verse, verse 9. Moses said to Pharaoh, accept the honor of saying, when I shall intercede for you, for your servants and for your people, to destroy the frogs from you in their houses, that they remain in the river only. An interesting offer from the Lord through Moses. He says, Pharaoh, I'll give you the honor of telling us what day you want the frogs gone, just so you'll know it's me. It's like Moses going in there and says, well, now the frogs will be gone. He says, you know what, Pharaoh? You pick the day, just so you'll know this is from God, you pick the day that the frogs disappear. How's that? And the frogs that go from your houses that they may remain in the river only. So what did the Pharaoh say? So he said, tomorrow. And Moses said, let it be according to your word that you may know that there was no one like the Lord our God. Wow, that's pretty good, isn't it? He says, you pick the day, and the day you pick, the frogs will be gone. He says, well, tomorrow. And Moses, well, okay, then you're going to know there's no one like God. Because no one can do that. on a certain day. Now, there are people who constantly want proof of God's existence and power. That's testing God. See, here God's trying to just show himself that he is real. We've had enough miracles. We've seen the resurrection of the Lord. And we see miracles through God. But we have faith in God. This isn't going to really work with Pharaoh. We're told not to test him. Verse 11, and the frogs shall depart from you, from your houses, from your servants, and from your people. They shall remain only in the river. Then Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, and Moses cried out to the Lord concerning the frogs which he had brought against Pharaoh. So Moses agrees, he entreats, he prays for Pharaoh concerning the frogs. So the Lord did, according to the word of Moses, and the frogs died out of the houses, out of the courtyards, and out of the fields, and they gathered them together in heaps, and the land stank. Can you imagine these heaps of frogs from all over? Huge heaps of frogs. It ought to really stink. But it happened on that next day, just as God had said. He says, pick a day. He did, and God answered. See, God wants Pharaoh to believe. God doesn't desire that any perish. He wants people to believe. But he'll never infringe on their free will. He'll allow them to choose by faith and to really be committed to him, not just with their mouth, but with their heart. And verse 15, look at this. But when Pharaoh saw that there was relief, he hardened his heart and did not heed them as the Lord had said. See? Soon as there's relief and the plagues disappear, person prays to be healed by God, God heals them. A few days or weeks go by, they feel okay, back on their feet. Goodbye, God, don't need you anymore. And that's what he did. He hardened his heart. You notice he hardened his heart, Pharaoh hardened his heart, because he did not heed what the Lord said. So they go back to their old ways. Verse 16, we get into the third plague. The lice, or the word is gnats, could be lice or gnats. So the Lord said to Moses, say to Aaron, stretch out your rod and strike the dust of the land so that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt. So next plague is lice. And they did so, for Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod and struck the dust of the earth, and it became lice on man and beast. All the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. You notice we're going to see the magicians are going to stop right here. They're not going to be able to go any further. But on this one, where lice was all over the land, they had a god, Isis. One of their gods was Isis, and they believed the dust of the earth, the land, was his dwelling place. So that's all being attacked, showing God's in charge. Now, the magicians so worked with their enchantments to bring forth lice, but they could not. So there were lice on man and beast. Then the magicians said to Pharaoh, this is the finger of God, Jehovah God. But Pharaoh's heart, he wouldn't even believe his own men, but Pharaoh's heart grew hard, and he did not heed them, just as the Lord had said. So God said, enough with the magicians. And so now the magicians have to acknowledge, this is the finger of God. It literally means an act of God. They acknowledge, this is God. Everybody is seeing that this is God. But his heart grew hard. And the Lord said to Moses, rise early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh as he comes out to the water. Then say to him, thus says the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me. We get into the fourth plague. Or else, if you will not let my people go, I will send swarms of flies. Now, not just flies, but swarms of flies on you and your servants, on your people, and into your houses. I hate that. Don't you hate flies or insects in the house? Can you imagine it? The houses of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies, and also on the ground on which they stand. They're just going to be all over. And in that day, I will... Now, here's something new now in verse 22. Here's where things change. And in that day, I will set apart the land of Goshen. The land of Goshen was in Egypt. Who lived there? The Israelites. That was the farmland that Pharaoh let them have up there to separate them from the Egyptians, because the Egyptians didn't like shepherds or farmers. They didn't want to associate with those kind of people. So now God's saying, I'm going to set the land apart, the land of Goshen, from the other parts of Egypt, the land of Goshen in which my people dwell. I'm going to take that part of Egypt, Goshen, and set it apart, that no swarms of flies shall be there, in order that you may know that I am the Lord in the midst of the land. He says, well, nothing seems to work with you, Pharaoh, so we're going to do this. The next plague is flies, but they're only going to be not in the land of Goshen, because that's where Israel you've let live. You've let them have that part of the land. Now, I wonder if the flies could fly that far. We can't go into that land. Stop right there and turn around. God could work that out, but that'd be weird. You think he would believe? Some people just won't believe. Or else you'll send swarms of flies. But in that day, I'm going to set my land apart that no swarms will be, in order that you may know this. And I will make a difference, verse 23. I'm going to make a difference between my people and your people. Tomorrow this sign shall be. God makes a distinction between his people and the unbelievers, the Egyptians who dwell in the rest of Egypt. There's a difference today between believers and unbelievers. Unbelievers are not children of God. They are God's creation. But in John, it tells us, to those he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in Jesus. There is a distinction between us and unbelievers. We're not all the same. We all don't believe in the same God. We all don't have the same faith. We are Christians, believers in Jesus Christ, and we are God's special people today, his children, because we believe in him by faith. So there's not going to be any flies around us, right? No, there just won't. No, we're just protected and we'll be with the Lord. But tomorrow, he says, you'll see this. See, and you know, this is what I was thinking about when I was reading this. Christians, when the judgment, the tribulation period comes, what happens to us? We fly away. Isn't that good? We fly away. No flies. We're going to fly away. We're not going to be bothered by anything. And the Lord did so. Thick swarms of flies came into the house of Pharaoh, into his servants' houses, into all the land of Egypt. The land was corrupted because of the swarms of flies. So it happened. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, go ahead, sacrifice to your God in the land. What's wrong with this statement? God said, I want you to get out of here 3 days into the wilderness and sacrifice. Pharaoh's compromising a little bit and saying, okay, I give, but he's still not giving all the way. He wants to keep control of the people. He doesn't want to lose them. He says, go ahead, worship, sacrifice in the land, in my land, you're right where you are. Remember, God says 3 days into the wilderness, that's quite a journey. So he's trying to get them to compromise so he could still keep control of them. That's what the devil wants to do with people. Get them to compromise, not fully commit to the Lord. You know, everybody does it. Go ahead. And so he's saying, don't obey God. Do it my way. I'll let you do it right here, right where you are. And Moses said, see, he's an uncompromiser, Moses. Moses said here in verse 26, it is not right for us to do so, for we would be sacrificing the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord, our God. If we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes, then they will they not stone us? The cows, the sacrificial cows which were to be sacrificed, were sacred to the Egyptians. And Moses said, that's not right. Plus, the Egyptians will hate us if they watch us doing this, sacrificing their cows in their sight, and you know, they will kill us, they will stone us. No, we're not going to do that. That's going to cause a problem. God had a reason to put them way out in the wilderness. Then verse 27, we will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he will command us. So Pharaoh said, I will let you go, that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Now, just a little more compromise. Only you shall not go very far away. He didn't say you can go 3 days. He said, well, you can go a little bit out of your land. Still compromise. We don't compromise. We obey the Lord. You know, we don't go far away. And he says, intercede for me, and please keep praying for me. Then Moses said, indeed, I am going out from you, and I will entreat the Lord, I'll pray for you, that the swarms of flies may depart tomorrow from Pharaoh, from his servants, from his people, but let Pharaoh not deal deceitfully anymore and not letting the people go to sacrifice to the Lord. He says, okay, I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to pray for you, but don't be deceitful anymore. Don't play games with me or God. So Moses went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord. He did. And the Lord did, according to the word of Moses. He removed the swarms of flies from Pharaoh, from his servants, from his people. Not one remained. But Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time. Also, neither would he let the people go. He just waits till the plague is over. Then he goes back to his old ways. He doesn't give up or give in to God. Next week, more of the plagues. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We just pray that these words would be meaningful to us. We would learn from them. Keep us, Lord, uncompromising in this world, committed to you, obeying your word, not doubting it. Your word is sure, and it's holy, and we live by it, Lord. And we thank you for it. We thank you for direction and wisdom from above. We pray tonight that our hearts would be at peace, that as we worship you now, we would honor you not only with our lips, but with our whole being, because you are God, and you are worthy to be praised. And we thank you, Lord, for saving us and giving us life and counting us as your children. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.